David and Cindy, Karen, lost their mother a few nights ago. Services will be Tuesday. Visitation will be tomorrow night at Tharp from 6 to 8. And then the service will be Tuesday afternoon at 2 o'clock. We want to remember this family as we pray together. And then we'll pray for Dane as well. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your goodness and faithfulness to us every day. To watch over and care for your own and to meet our needs and to always be there through the good times, but even more importantly, through the bad times, to be our strength and our sustenance, and to be our hope for better days ahead. I pray for Dave and Cindy and Karen and all of their spouses and children and the grandchildren and all that are part of that family and that are a part of this family, and even those that are not. That you would watch over them, Father, in this very difficult season of their life. As they grieve, Father, for the loss of the matriarch of the family. Father, we pray that you would watch over each of them, care for them, comfort them, and strengthen them. May they know the peace of your presence in a special way in the days that are ahead. We thank you, Father, that they do not grieve as those who have no hope. For the hope of eternal life is a part of that family, and we praise you for that.
Yes.
Lord, as you send our brother to us today to share the word of the Lord with us, we pray for your anointing to be upon him in a special way today, to speak the word of the Lord in truth, speak it without compromise, but speak it with a spirit of love. Father, we covenant with you now to receive the word of God engrafted that is able to save our souls. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say to the church today. We thank you, Father, for this time of feeding and encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Brother, you are at your liberty to do whatever you would like to do.
All righty. I'm not a computer geek, but I'm sure glad that they have where you can get your font larger. You know, because I can't read this, but it looks good carrying the Bible. It's amazing, you know, you get glasses, and my wife said, well, we got glasses, and I said, that's great. She goes, why are you taking it off when you're reading? I said, can't see with them. I'm trying to figure out why I'm paying the doctor to have it done. I always, you know, I was at doing well, they call it a revival. I call it a Bible conference. I experienced and lived through a revival at one time, and it was the greatest thing that I have ever experienced. It started at a Christian college, and it moved over into other colleges, and it hit Washington Bible College when I was there. And, you know, I'm praying. I was driving the other day, and I stopped a car, and my wife said, what are you doing? I said, there's a sign that says revival in progress. I want to see it, you know? But I believe with all of my heart, we're at a time today where things could break loose. I really believe that. I believe with all of my heart that it will start with us. It will start with me as an individual, you as an individual. We are being hated for his name's sake. Anything that's conservative or resting on the word of God, part of our nation that was founded on God's word, hates it. They want to do what's right unto their own eyes. We're living in a time right now where people are extremely hurting, we have the answer. And I took my watch off. I was doing this Bible conference, and I took my watch off, and at the end, the pastor that was doing it, he said, do you know why Dane takes his watch off and puts it there? And people were saying, well, probably watching the time. And he goes, no, it means absolutely nothing to him. and it doesn't. It just looks nice there. Anyways, I'm going to share a verse, and I want to show, you know, I'm speaking at another church tonight, and I did this message a week ago, and then I'm continuing it there. You know, time is now. time is now that we should be living our lives a reflection of Jesus Christ. And I think the churches are failing today. We're so afraid of offending people. But I got to understand, I never offend anybody. The Word of God does. When I share the truth, people don't want to hear it. And they get angry at me, but they're not really angry at me. They're angry at the truth because they want to do it their way, and their way is not working. It's a way of hate and anger. I have never, in all my life, I have never seen a country so divided and so full of hatred to what is true, what is the right way to live, and understanding that when I read the Word of God and follow the Word of God, I will be a success. They wonder why they're not a success. They wonder why they're in and out of marriages. They wonder why their children are so messed up. We wonder why Chicago had 78 shootings and it was 12 deaths, and this morning I heard it was 18. And I look at this and I see a world on fire. And the whole time I'm looking at that thinking, in 1964 they took Bible reading out of the public schools. That was the year I graduated. So I grew up in a schools here in Altoona. Not here in Altoona, not here in Lynchburg, where you read the Bible and you prayed and you had discipline in the classroom. You know, it's amazing. I talk to teachers and so many in the public schools are saying, I don't want to teach anymore. The children call me names and curse at me. If I do anything wrong, it's my fault. I'll tell you, when I grew up, my dad never spanked me. But if my dad raised his voice, let me tell you. But my mom, I would say something smart, and I'd feel something slap in my mouth, and I'd never see her hand move. It was like, whoa, where did that come from? And the more I think about it, today she'd probably be put in jail. And I needed that slap across my mouth. And it never hurt me. It helped me learn discipline. It taught me to respect authority. And so I'm looking at that. And the verse I want to start with is walk, and it's Colossians 4, 5, and 6. It says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man. You know, I was watching Sarah Huckabee was just right up here in Charlottesville, and well, it was Lexington, I'm sorry, and was eating at going in to eat at a restaurant, and the owner asked her to leave. People were chanting. I saw today where two young people that we see on television were in Philadelphia, and they started to yell at them and throw water on them. And you know what really impressed me with each one of these situations is that Sarah Huckabee, these other people, never got angry, never yelled, never, you know, they just smiled and walked away. I thought when I read that verse, I kept thinking when he says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. You see, the world wants us to react to them as they are reacting to us. You know, it's amazing to realize that when Christ was put on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's amazing to realize the description of Jesus going to the cross was a lamb being led to the slaughter. And so when I look at this, I realize that we have an opportunity today to be a witness for the Lord, and we have to do it in wisdom. I remember I was in Washington, D.C., and I was preaching at a park, and I would set up a canvas, and I would start painting until I got a crowd of people. And I remember as I was preaching, this African-American young man started chanting and yelling at me and saying you're preaching a white man's God. And he just kept it up and kept it up. And I didn't stop. I just kept preaching. I ignored him. And pretty soon he got right up in my face and everybody's watching it. And it wasn't that they wanted to defend me. It was waiting to see how I was going to react. And when he got there, he got right up in my face and he spit in my face. And I wiped the spittle away and I kept preaching. I didn't stop. I didn't address him. I just kept going. After a period of time, he finally knew that I wasn't going to react to his behavior. And he went and he sat down on a bench. Didn't leave, just sat down on the bench. So when I got done speaking, I walked over and I sat down next to him. And I said, "I love you." And he looked at me and he goes, "Why didn't you punch me? Why didn't you curse at me?" And I said, "To be honest, I wanted to punch you." But I said, "My heart, I felt sorry for you." And we sat there for an hour and a half. And there on that bench, he received Jesus Christ as his Savior. Now, what's fascinating is the end of the story. He pastors a church now in Washington, D.C. He wound up going to Washington Bible College, where I was a student, and graduated, and he's pastoring today. What could have happened if I would have punched him? Everybody said, "Oh, look at him punching that guy. Calls himself a Christian." It's difficult. My hero in the Bible is Stephen when he's being stoned. You know, I look at him and I think, wow. So, I want to speak on life is short. Don't like that topic, but I want to speak on life is short. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray that you'll uplift, guide, and direct. As we look at your word, we're going to look at a number of verses. We're going to interpret scripture with scripture. And Lord, we just pray that you'll uplift, guide, and direct us. Lord, the message today is one that will cheer us up, make us feel good. It's fantastic. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll lay on my heart the words to share and the truth to lay out, that we may grasp it and say, wow, God is good. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, understand, what we're going to talk about today is fascinating. Because, you know, we say God is a God of love. We were talking about it and I was singing and I was really enjoying it and everything. But I also understand God is love and his grace is so fantastic. And in my life, you know, it's amazing because I see that grace. I see that love. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, God is also a God of wrath. When I know Jesus Christ as my Savior, I have hope for eternity. I know that here on earth, this is the closest I'll ever be to hell. Because I'm looking at heaven. But if a person doesn't know Jesus Christ as his Savior, he is going to face the wrath of God. And here on earth, he is the closest to heaven that he'll ever be. So when I look at this, I say, with my family and my friends, I want to share Jesus with them. I want them to go to heaven. Now listen, I want to give you some facts about life. You know, when we look at this, we need to discover why we need to share Jesus with others. Fact number one, time does not stop. Time does not stop. In 1 Chronicles 29:15, we read, "For we are strangers there before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow, and there is none abiding." I have a granddaughter, Rosie. Rosie is 2 years old. I remember one day, because you know where I live, and we have a driveway, and the sun was up, and Rosie was walking, and as she was walking, she looked back, and there was her shadow. Oh! Oh! You know, it's following me! You know? And instead of comforting her, we just sat there and laughed. So we're watching her, and she's going everywhere, and finally, she gets to a place where there's a tree. And she looks and the shadow's gone. And it was like, oh, Where did it go? You know? And I kept thinking, that's our lives. He says that life is like a shadow. I mean, years and years ago, I would look in the mirror and there'd be a good looking guy with hair looking back at him. And I look in the mirror now and I go, you know, it's like that My Pillow guy, you know, looking back in the mirror, you know, and I look and I go, who's that old guy? Oh, he has a double chin. It can't be me, you know. Guys, let me tell you, time does not stop. In Job 8:9, he says, for we are but of yesterday. You know, we are but of yesterday. Well, yesterday was yesterday. I cut my grass. It was yesterday. I can't relive it. It's not there anymore. So I look at this and he says here, but we are but of yesterday, know nothing because our days upon earth are again a shadow. Here, and it's gone. You know, as I was just sitting thinking, you know, how quickly time has gone by. I had this older man come to my office and wanted to see me, and he wanted to visit me, and I thought, well, I know the name, but that's an old guy sitting out there. And here was one of my students. And I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh. What happened to you? You know? You know? No, I never said that. But guys, let me tell you, when you look at this and you see the kids that you taught in school, and I have a couple that have grandkids, and I'm sitting there going, wait a minute. Where's time gone? Just seemed like yesterday, over in Vietnam, I was yielding my life to Jesus Christ. Where's time gone? Another verse. James 4:14 says, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? What is it? For you are a mist that appears for a little while. Now, we're not looking forward to winter coming. You know, as soon as you walk out and all of a sudden you see your breath, you think, oh no, winter's coming, you know. But you breathe and it's there and then it's gone. Guys, time does not stop. Fact number two. Fact number two. Sad one. Everyone dies. Everyone dies. Got news for you. We all are going to die. It's amazing. My son-in-law does filming and editing, and we just finished my funeral message. When I die, if you want to come over, it's going to be fun. Invite you to come. We're going to have music. I talked to Toby Mack. He said if he's free, he's going to come in do my music, and I preach my own message. Someone says, "You're kidding me? Isn't that morbid?" No, it's not morbid. Am I going to have some guy get up that doesn't know me? Oh, he was such a wonderful guy. How do you know? You don't know me. I know me. And so we're taping it, and it's taped and in a vault, and it's going to be great. It's going to be great. Yeah, dance around. It's going to be awesome, man. Dying is a part of living. Why be fearful of it? You know, I go to the hospital. I have surgery. And someone says, are you afraid? No, I'm not afraid. Everybody I meet is a soul that I can share Jesus with. And my life is short, and I'm going to die someday. The Bible says in Job 7:9, as the cloud fades and vanishes, so he who does go down to Sheol does not come back up. No, I'm going to die. Hebrews 9:27, just as it is appointed unto man once to die. We're going to die. So we look at this and we say, okay, when I looked at the first one, I saw that the time does not stop. That's fact one. Fact two, we're all going to die. Now I tell my wife, I said, definitely do not have an open casket for me. She said, why? I said, because we go into a funeral and we look at someone and we go, wow, it looks like they're just sleeping. No, they look like they're dead. That's a shell. I'm not there. Why do I want people to remember me dead? I want people to remember me as I lived. And the fact that I'm in heaven. And when I look at this, I said, you know, if I know Jesus Christ as my Savior, my death will be a celebration. Because everything I believe in is based on that very fact of death and where I'm going to spend eternity. We're only here for a short period of time. I always use the verse, physical exercise only lasts for a short time. Well, understand we're only here on earth for a short time, so we better be exercising, you know. When I look at this, I realize that that's a fact. Now, fact number three. Now, we look at this, we say, okay, death I don't have to be afraid of. It's great when I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. It's a reward to me that I have eternity. I will have hair. I may look like Zac Efron. I don't know what I'm going to look like. But I look at this and I say, okay, time is short, death. Number three. Here's the biggie. And we're only going to hit on one today. Fact number three. People will spend eternity in heaven or in hell. In heaven or in hell. I met a student that transferred to another Christian school. He came down and he said, can we go get coffee, Pastor Dane? Well, Papa Dane, they call me. And I said, sure. So I said, I'll meet you at Panera. So we go to Panera and we're sitting there. And if I named the school, you'd know what school it is. Great school. Maybe at one time. He said, my theology teacher is proving to us that hell does not exist. I said, what? Dude, it does. Now we sat down and I started to go over scripture with him, but let's look at scripture about heaven. I mean, there were things that I looked at here that just really, really hit me as I was studying. Listen, I'm going to give you some truths about heaven. We're going to end up really happy today. Maybe sometime I'll get invited back and we'll talk to about the other place. Then you'll leave depressed. Truth number one. Guys, heaven is a real place. Heaven is a real place. John 14, 1-3 says, let not your heart be troubled. We believe in God, believe also in me. This is the Lord. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now understand, we're going to continue this. Understand, how many days did it take for the Lord to create at the beginning? Now, how many years has it been since the Lord went to prepare that place for us? A few thousand years. Now, if 6 days was so fantastic, what do you think heaven's like? Oh my goodness, I'm sitting here thinking, whoa, thousands of years he's been working on that. And I look at this and I think, wow. And then he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you will be also. Now, let me tell you, heaven is not some mystical place, a dream state thing, you know, that sometimes we see on television, on these shows, you know, that are so stupid. I was at camp this year, all the camps I did, they always said, Pastor Dane, you always come up with a statement, everybody winds up doing it. They said, 3 years ago, you were saying, I'm God's boy. So everybody's running around saying, I'm God's boy, I'm God's girl. They said, you came last year, and it was, I love you, man. So everybody going, I love you, man. You know, this year, every time I'd be talking, I'd say, people don't believe in heaven. Stupid. And at the end of the week, everybody's walking around going, stupid. You know, but I look at this and I realize one thing. When I follow through on this, it is not some mystic dream type location. Not a bunch of disembodied ghosts like souls floating around in the clouds. I hope I'm not hurting your feelings, but it's not the way it is. When Jesus was resurrected, guess what? He had a real glorified body. He said, look, touch me. Touch me. When I look at this, I realize what he tells me in Luke 24:39. He says, to them, my hands and my feet, that is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones. I am here. I have a body. And what's really neat is to realize that he chose to carry the scars that he took for me for eternity. So, when resurrected, we will have a body similar to his. Now, it will never be subject to death or pain anymore. Revelation 21 and 21 and 22 really talks a lot about heaven. He says here, and God shall wipe away all of our tears, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things in life have passed away. I mean, that should get you really excited. I mean, if I had hair, it'd be standing straight up. Woo! Look at this. Now, wait a minute, we're not done. That was truth number one. Truth number two, heaven is a place of unimaginable beauty. Heaven is a place of unimaginable beauty. I remember this summer we went to Disney World. My son and his wife flew down with my twin granddaughters. My one daughter here and her husband came down with their children. The other ones are saying, well, if you went to Disney World with him, you got to come out to California to go to Disneyland with us. They must think I'm made out of money. Anyways, when I look at this, I wanted to go to Animal Kingdom because they opened up a section called Pandora. It was taken from the movie Avatar. I don't know if you've ever seen Avatar, but I did. And in the movie, there's mountains. But the mountains are floating. They're not coming up from the ground. They're just floating around these huge mountains. So I kept thinking, okay, when I get there, it's going to be unique because they'll probably have a few little things hanging, you know, that's a mountain, you know. And so we went, and they said, where do you want to go first? I said, Pandora. I want to go to Pandora. So as we're walking, all of a sudden, I don't know how they did it, but these huge mountains look like they're just floating. Now there's vines, and obviously the vines have steel or something in it, but they just look like vines, and these mountains look like they're just floating, and they're huge. Wow. That's amazing. And you walk in, and they're playing music, and there's purple people, you know. And so I thought, now, in the movie, at night, everything lights up, everything is beautiful, and I thought, well, let's go see what it is. My son said, we got to go at night. Everything has black lights in it. So everything in that section light up. The mountains light up. The flowers light up. The paths light up. I mean, it's beautiful. And I'm walking there going, this is so beautiful. But guess what? Doesn't even compare. Doesn't even compare to heaven. Now, listen. Again, Revelation 21. 18 to 21, it says, the wall was built of jasper. Oh. While the city was pure gold, like clear glass. It is so pure, it is like glass. The foundation of the wall of the cities were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second a sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth whatever that is, and the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates, listen, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each of the gate made out of a what? Single pearl. Now, guys, we just started out by saying heaven is a real place. I'm not making this up. It's a fact, Jack, and you can take it to the bank and deposit it. It's there. Now, the walls and foundation were set with jewels. Walls and foundation also set with pure, transparent gold. God, who created our five senses, has been preparing a place for us. Can you imagine? He created a world in 6 days, and now he's doing this. Now, did you ever think, and my imagination goes crazy, did you ever think that when we look at the colors here on earth, there are going to be colors there we've never seen before? It's like, wow, what color is that? You don't have a name for it? Wow, it is beautiful. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. Now think about it. A taste. There will be probably different taste sensations. Who cares about hibachi grill? We're going to go there. I've never seen that fruit before. Oh, that is amazing. That is so good. I never tasted anything like that before. Well, naturally you didn't. You were in heaven. We look at this and we also understand that there will be hearing sensations that we never heard before. Wow, that is gorgeous. That is beautiful. New touch sensations. Our imagination, guys, can go wild when we think about it. He tells me in 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagine what God has prepared for us. Technicolor, no. There'll be colors that will just sit there and go, wow. Now, truth number three. Heaven, a place of happiness and joy. You know, we sit there and think, oh, we're going to go to heaven and we're going to sit on a rock and we'll have a white robe and we'll be playing a harp or that thing. And we're playing, and that's going to be really boring, don't you think? Well, it would be if it was true. It's not true. Listen, our tears will be washed away. Heaven is a place of, heaven is a place of activity. It's a place of activity. How do I know? Isaiah 65:17-21. See, I will create a new heaven and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sounds of weeping and crying will be heard no more. Never again will there be in it infants whose lives are but a few days. No child death. Wow. Listen. Or an old man, I love this, who does not live out his years, the one who dies at 100, I'm looking forward to 100, will be thought of as a mere teenager child. Wow. I like that. He says here, they will, underline this. They will build houses and dwell in them. And they will plant vineyards and eat of their fruit. Guys, we're gonna build houses. I don't know what mine will look like, but guys, we're gonna build houses. We're gonna have an act, and you know what? We'll never sweat. You'll get up in the morning and say, I'm gonna go out and work on my house. Aren't you tired? No, I'm not tired at all. Got my hammer and my saw. I'm ready to go. How many here have gardens? How many have gardens in here? Anybody have a garden? How many have to weed the garden all the time? Yeah. But you know what? There won't be any weeds. And you'll just garden for the joy of gardening. Guys, the whole time when I was studying and preparing to teach this, I kept thinking, the whole time, like a lot of people were thinking, you just float around and no. Unlimited enjoyment. enjoyment of family. I will recognize my wife. I will. Now, in a sense, I won't be married to her, in a sense, but I will recognize her, you know. And the way my wife studies, she'll probably be on the staff doing research. You know, I don't know. You know, she's the one I built a man cave. I've never been in it. I walk into my man cave, and there's Revelation charts around the wall, and there's her prayer requests on the wall. And I said, this is my man cave. She goes, thank you for letting me use it. Use it and living in it are two different things. Anyways, when I look at this, enjoyment, friends with angels, with other, listen, I love this when I saw this, with other intelligent beings. We watch these fantasy things with different beings, and I'm thinking, oh, but right there it is. Things we do not know. Here's what I love. I love animals. Loving animals. People say, well, there won't be any animals there. Well, I don't know who told you that lie. Listen. We will live within a zoo. We will live within a zoo and we'll enjoy uncaged animals. How do you know? Well, let's look at scripture, okay? Isaiah 65:25. It says, the wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. And there will be neither no harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. They won't kill each other. There's going to be animals in heaven. I'm excited about that. I love animals. And they won't kill each other. Guys, I'm looking at this and thinking, I remember Dr. Falwell says, when I go to heaven, he says, I'm just going to have a good time with Irish setters. God's going to let me have Irish setters. I love my Irish setters. Elijah, listen, people say, well, what else? Now, wait a minute. Elijah was taken up in a what? Yeah. So here's his chariot. What was it pulled by? Horses. Okay. Now, people can argue with me all they want, but right there. Listen. We will learn more about science, creation, about God and his love. It tells me that in Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims the handiwork. Now, people, I remember I used to argue with people, oh, well, when I go up, I'll never have any questions because on the way up, I'll have all the answers. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at that thinking, you've been teaching false doctrine, Dane. Ephesians 5:6-7. Let me prove it to you. He said, raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages, now this is important, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Now, when I looked that up and I go through it in Greek, I discovered when he says show, it means to reveal in a progressive way. Now, he says here, the coming of age, it says here. It means progressing, ongoing revelation, in which we learn more as we go along. And I don't have to worry about getting F's in class. Now, let me ask you, is heaven some boring place? Oh, he also tells me here, the heavens are telling the glory of God. They are a marvelous display of his craftsmanship. We will enjoy creating things. And I know I'm giving you a lot of verses, but look them up so you can tell I'm not lying to you. Isaiah 35:10, he says, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I'm going to be able to write music. I don't know anything about music. The only thing I can play is my radio, you know? But that's going to be great. Listen. We will listen. I love this verse. Listen. Zephaniah 3:17. We will listen to God singing. Listen, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his lover. He will joy over thee with singing. I don't know what God sounds like, but I can imagine what it must sound like. No, I can't. Wow. Listen. I love this one. Now, I hope you're not getting bored, because I'm not. He says here, when I looked at this, and I was reading this verse, Mark 12:25, for when they shall rise from the dead, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. Now, it's talking about marriage and given in marriage and everlasting life. But the more I thought about that, I was thinking, we will enjoy out of this world activities. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, what about galaxy travel? Wow, here he goes. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but not, you know, I'm just using my thoughts. Like angels, we will not marry or be given to marriage. Like angels, we will not die. But it says here, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. Wow. Maybe there'll be time warp speed. All of a sudden, you know, your pastor's out there and it goes, phew! What was that? I think that was Pastor Dane going, man. Think about it. You know, just thinking about these things is just fascinating. Listen, when I look at this, truth number four, and I love this, heaven is free from sin. Heaven is free from sin. He tells me in Revelation 21:8, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Guys, free from sin. Last one, truth number five. Heaven is a place of light. There'll be no sun, be no moon. It says again, Revelation 21:2, and the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp, and its lamp is the Lamb of God. No need for sun or light. You know, I was thinking of it, and people say, well, you know, I can't wait to see the temple in heaven where God resides. No, there won't be no temple. Everything in heaven is God. That's his temple. Now understand, we need to share with others. Why should we keep something so great to ourselves and not willing to share with others? So, maybe in the near future, if I get invited back, we'll look at hell. And that breaks your heart. Breaks your heart. But the key to heaven is we will worship God for eternity. Isn't he great? And what a gift he has for you. Guys, get your hammer and saw ready, because you're going to go to heaven and you're going to be building. When I saw that building houses, I was thinking, I wonder if that's the mansions. Lord says, okay, there's the foundation. I got it all set, and here's the, I don't know. But it's amazing how we can look at, and he gives us all these things, and he lays it out for us. And he says, okay, eye has not seen, nor ear heard. He said, it's okay. Use your imagination. And you know what? It won't even be close to what you're going to experience in heaven. Lord, I thank you so much for your blessing. I pray, Lord, you uplift, guide, and direct. We love you with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. In Jesus' name, amen. And as you can see, my watch meant nothing.